Jesus said, if I be lifted up, that when I'm lifted up, that when people look to me, they are healed. And I remember the song that we used to sing, look and live, my brother live. Look to Jesus now and live.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Two Characters, Two Conducts, Two Conclusions. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Two Characters, Two Conducts, Two Conclusions.
John chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that loveth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth trust cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. As we come today, we pray that you might remain alert to the word of God. You know, somebody told me a couple weeks ago, Pastor, you and my anesthesiologist have two things in common. And I said, what's that? They said, both of you put me to sleep. So so we pray that that you would stay connected to the word of God this morning. So we want to talk about today two characters, two conducts, and two conclusions. Years ago, I preached a message from Psalm 1, Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, a powerful psalm where it talks about two people and the way that they went and where they ended up. And the message today is similar to that because we're going to talk about two characters, two conducts, and two conclusions. This morning, we're going to look at the love of God and see how that God loves us and that those who embrace the love of God, that God has a special plan and purpose for your life. And then there are those individuals that do not embrace the love of God. And because they don't embrace the love of God, that they have a destiny that is not one that is desirable. Someone asked the question, how could a God of love let someone go to hell? Not rolling back there. All right, so I'll improvise this morning. All right. Okay, how could a God of love let someone go to hell? That question has been asked on many occasions, and I pray that this morning that you would leave here with an answer to that question. How could a God of love let someone go to hell? And we're going to see from John 3:16 a verse that many of us know by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God has made a way for people to escape from hell. And the way that he's made is that he has sent his son to die on a cross for our sins. I had a quote that I was going to put up on the screen this morning, but it was by C.S. Lewis. And the quote went something like this. He said, "I willingly believe that the damned are, in one sense, successful rebels to the end. The door of hell are locked. The doors of hell are locked on the inside. All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, it is open. And yourself, in a dark hour, may with a grumbling mood embrace it. Yet you can repent and come out of it. But there may be a day when you can no longer do that. Then there will be no mood left to criticize you." And so what Lewis is saying is that the reason that people go to hell is because they choose to go to hell. It's not because God sends them, that God loves them so much that he sent Christ to die so that they don't have to go to hell. There was another quote that I was going to share with you, and it was by Chuck Colson. And Chuck Colson says this, "In a sense, the concept of hell gives meaning to our lives." And I thought that was rather strange when he said that. "It tells us that the moral choices we make day by day have eternal significance, that our behavior has consequences lasting to eternity, that God himself takes our choices seriously, that there are consequences to our choices, and the consequences to our choices are hell. And yet still, people miss the love of God." You know, there was a guy, he was in New York City, and he wanted to go to this nightclub. It was called Hell's Place. And so he came to this police officer, and he said, "Can you tell me how to get to Hell's Place?" And the police officer said, there's a church down there that you go by. It's called Divine Love. And just on the other place, on the other side of Divine Love, you'll find Hell's Place." And when we think about that analogy and that story, that man had to walk by the Divine Love Church in order to get to Hell's Place. And there are people, they walk by the love of God every day on their way to hell. That God has sent his son rose again, that God calls them, and they walk by the love of God every day on their way to hell. And so we got it up. All right. So if we could. All right. Okay. That looks strange to me, but. All right. We're going to roll on this morning without the PowerPoint. You see my sermons, whether you notice or not, are PowerPoint driven. And when I don't have the PowerPoint, it kind of throws me off a little bit. But we're going to roll on. All right. All right. So let's look at our scripture today. In John chapter 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so we see this passage here that Jesus quotes from the Old Testament. Look at Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And we see in Numbers 21 that God sent a plague among the Israelites because of their complaining. And as we begin reading in verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." So as they journeyed in the wilderness, the people began to get discouraged. In verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth or hateth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh on it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of bronze, he lived. And so Jesus actually quotes this passage that was back in Numbers. And Jesus says, like that serpent was lifted up on a pole, and the people that looked to the serpent, that they got healed. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, that when I'm lifted up, that when people look to me, they are healed. And I remember the song that we used to sing, look and live, my brother live. Look to Jesus now and live. Have you taken that look? Have you seen Jesus lifted up on the cross? Can you imagine how powerful it must have been for the people back in that day whenever they got bitten by the serpents and they saw people dying all around them? I mean, their friends, their relatives were dropping dead all around them. And then here they were. They were sick because of these serpents that came. And Moses took that bronze serpent and he lifted it up on the stake. And the scripture says that everybody that looked to the serpent, that they got healed. What if that was your case? What if you were bit by a serpent and you knew that your healing came because you looked up to the serpent of bronze on the pole? Well, think about this. Everyone has been bitten by the serpent of sin. That you were bitten by the serpent of sin. And that when this serpent bit you, you know, you were not only, you were a sinner in two ways. You were a sinner by birth, and you were a sinner by choice. And you were destined to go to eternal damnation. And Jesus came. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And as you look to Jesus on the cross, and you realize that he died in your place, and you pray and ask him to come into your heart. That's what it means to look and live. That's what it means to look. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 3 in verse 14. That when you look, you see the healing that comes to your sin-sick soul. And we go on, and the first point that I want to make is that we look at two characters. We see in John 3:16 the first character, and this is the one who receives the love of God. The one who receives the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The second character is found in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Two characters. The one believes on Jesus, and the other one does not believe on Jesus Christ. The one has looked at God's love. He sees the love of God. And in my PowerPoint, I went through John 3:16, and I talked about what this verse actually means as far as the greatest thing that God could have done in sending his love. And so when we look at Calvary, when we look at the cross, what is that? That is an indication of God's love. That is the love of God shed out. So when people say, how can a loving God let somebody go to hell? Well, God doesn't let anybody go to hell because he showed his love on Calvary. And there's two characters. There's the one that receives the love of God, and then there's the one that does not receive the love of God. See, I think so often we ask the wrong question and we look at the wrong thing. Why does God let somebody go to hell? No, that's not the question to ask. The question to ask is, why do some receive God's love and why do others reject God's love? The love of God, that God's love is wrapped up at Calvary, that if you ever question the love of God, if you ever go through your life and you look at things that are not going right and you begin to question, well, does God love me? Does God care about me? Is God concerned about me? I just have one thing. Just look to Calvary. Somebody asks, how much does God love me? How much does God love you? And Jesus stretched his arms and died on the cross. And he said, this is how much I love you. And so it's up to us whether we receive the love of God. See, that's what salvation is. Salvation, yeah, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But the salvation is more about God's love. And when we receive that love, we see I'm pointing up to the screen, right? when we receive the love of God, we see the next thing that we have is that there are two characters, and then we see there are two conducts. There are two ways that they conduct themselves. Look at verse 21. And this is the one who has received God's love. The one who has received God's love in verse 21. But he that doth trust cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This one comes to the light. That Jesus came into the world, and he came into the world to spread light, and that the one who loves Christ comes to the light. But notice there's the second one, and this one loves the darkness and rejects the light. Look at verse 19. But this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So do you see the contrast between the two characters, the conduct between the two characters? One loves the truth and comes to the light. The other one loves darkness, and they come into that darkness. I remember one time before I got saved, I was at a party, and we were at this party, and all of a sudden, I don't know if the electricity went out or if thank you. All right, so let's go back real quick. I just want to show y'all that I have some graphics, right? Go back to that one where it talked about if I be lifted up, you know, the serpent and Christ. Yeah, there you go. All right. You know, so, you know, just like they looked at that serpent in the Old Testament, and they were healed, and we looked at Jesus on the cross, and we have healing. But let me go back to my story. Right? So I was at this party, and the lights went out, and they were out for about 5 minutes. And, you know, we just kind of sat around, and finally they came back on. And when the lights came back on, I had a glass with some drink in it, and it was covered, man. Well, no, I'm not gonna say covered. There was about four or five roaches on the. and as soon as the light came back on, They left. They scattered. Right? And so what John is saying here is that, you know, there are individuals who love darkness. And because they love darkness, they are drawn to dark things. They are drawn to things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. But those of us who love the light, you know, we are drawn to the truth. You know, I often wonder, and you know, I know that you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. You know, I realize that. But I think a lot of times people stay away from the house of God because they are walking in darkness. And because they are walking in darkness, they don't want to come to the truth. They don't want to have the light shined on their deeds and on the things that they do. So they stay away. And that's what John is saying here, that people who have not accepted God's love, those who have not accepted the love of God, that they remain in darkness. And so as we talk to family and friends, and you know, we get frustrated because we don't feel that they are listening to us and that they are not hearing what we are saying, it may be that the God of this world has darkened their eyes, has blinded their eyes so that they might not receive the truth. And so there's no need for us, I find, to get frustrated. The only thing that we can do is just pray for them and ask God to bring them to the light. And that, you know, when you think about it, God gives us light. God gives you and me light. And as we follow the light that he gives us, he gives us more light. But if we deny or we reject the light that God has given us, you know, guess what comes? Darkness comes our way. And when you even think about it in your own life, if you have spent time in God's word and you have read the word of God and God spoke to something about something clearly out of his word to you, that God told you something directly from his word, and you didn't do it, God's not going to give you any more light. He's not going to breathe any more light, because he's going to say, why should I give you light? Because you're not doing anything about the light I've already shown you. And that's why our hearts need to be sensitive to the word of God and obedient to what he says. Notice also that it says here, not only are they drawn to the light, but look at verse 21 about the righteous. It says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. That whenever you come to the light, you have righteous deeds, that you are doing good deeds. That God shows you what to do, and then you are obedient to do those things. But to the contrary, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that does evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But nobody wants this when they're out there.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Two Characters, Two Contexts, Two Conclusions. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Two Characters, Two Contexts, Two Conclusions, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Characters, Two Contexts, Two Conclusions. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Characters, Two Contexts, Two Conclusions. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.